worth it all. Another songwriter said, it'll be worth it when we see Jesus' face. Amen. We'll be there one of these days. But I want you to take your Bibles with me tonight. Look with me, if you will, in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 17. The Gospel of John, chapter number 17. And we have been talking about some of the times when Jesus went to pray and as he prayed. And there are probably, I would say, two major times that we read of as he prays. Two, to me, major times. Now, there are several times, and I guess every time that we read that it is a significant thing. But particularly here, we're going to look at John chapter number 17. And we're going to read the first 11 verses, if you will, Mimni. And we'll look at this thought tonight. Listen to what it said. These words in John 17, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have finished thee, or I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now, they have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would, tonight. Father, I thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you again for the things that you've done for us, for your love and your mercy and your grace on us. Bless this time now and just help us to understand the Word of God and help us to take it and hide it in our heart, that we might be more like you and that we might just give you praise and worship and thanks for everything you do. And bless your people tonight. Give us some wisdom and some insight and understanding into these things. And Lord, again, burden our hearts for those that are lost and undone that need Christ in their lives. And we'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight just for a few minutes, and we're going to get into this study, our ninth study in this, and we're going to call it Using the Father's Name. Using the Father's Name. Jesus is praying, and you'll notice through this prayer, and you heard it there as you read with me, Jesus says, Father. When he gets ready to pray, Jesus uses that term, Father. And, you know, most of us, I don't know if you even realize it or recognize it or not. And sometimes we may say, oh, God, you know, and begin praying that way or whatever. But generally, we refer to God as our Father. Because if you remember again, Jesus told us, he was teaching his disciples. And in Luke chapter 11, they said, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples to pray. Over in Matthew chapter number 6, Jesus begins to talk to them, talking about prayer in the early verses of Matthew 6. And then he gets on down and he said, and when you pray, he said, pray like this. Or this is how you ought to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and thy will be done. You know, all those things that he goes on. He starts out in prayer using the Father's name. And you know, this is just one of those things that, as I say, you and I probably don't even think about it sometimes. We don't even realize it. But we are to be praying. And when you pray, use the name of the Father. The Father is the one that hears us. The Father is the one that answers us. The Father is the one that we are leaving our petitions and our prayers and our supplications and our desires. We're leaving those with our Heavenly Father. Amen? That's what you're supposed to be doing anyway. And, just in realizing these things, just kind of thinking about that. If you look back in the book of John in chapter number 2, and you don't have to turn there, but I'm going to. John chapter number 2, and Jesus is in a day of, I guess you'd say, his public, real public ministry. Chapter number 2, we know that he is, chapter number 1, baptized. Chapter number 2, we see the marriage at Cana. But after the marriage at Cana of Galilee, it tells us in verse number 13 of chapter 2, Jesus went down to the temple in Jerusalem, and he went there to worship. So it's really a public meeting. It's a public place where Jesus goes in. And in verse number 15, it said, and when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them that sold the doves, take these things hence, make not, listen to what he said, my Father's house an house of merchandise. He's talking about his Father. In the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry, he talks about the Father. Do you know that at the very end of Jesus' earthly life, he talks about the Father? They're getting ready to put him on the cross. You know what Jesus said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And one of the last things that Jesus says in Luke chapter 23 and verse 46, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And then when Jesus is resurrected, just 3 days later, when Jesus is resurrected, you remember the story how that Mary comes to him and she thinks that he's the gardener and that they've taken Jesus' body and she's not sure what's going on. And she says to him, sir, where have you laid him? She said, I want to know where he's at. I want to go and see him one more time. And it said that he said one thing to her. He said, Mary. And she immediately knew that it was him. She said, Rabboni. She fell at his feet. And he said, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. He said, but I want you to go and tell Peter and my brethren that I do ascend, that I'm going to my Father and to your Father. Amen? And then if you'll remember when he shows back up in John, well, it's just a few more pages on over here in John chapter number 20, he comes to see them, and he says in verse 21, he comes in to greet them in verse 19. He says, peace be unto you. And it said, verse 20, when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Amen. And then in Acts chapter number 1, they're wanting to know about when the kingdom's coming and all that. In Acts chapter number 1, verse number 3, they're asking him about that stuff. Verse number 4, it said, and being assembled together with him, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you've heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And they asked him, Lord, will at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But he tells them to stay there and receive power, and then he takes off from them up into heaven. So what I'm wanting you to see is, the very first time, one of the first times you see Jesus publicly, he's talking about his Father. And then as Jesus exits this world for the last scene of his life, he's talking about his Father. So what I'm saying to you is, that name of the Father is an important name for me and you to understand. And I guess really one of the things that we need to hear, need to see is this. Hey, there was no time in the Old Testament where there was a Jewish prophet, a Jewish preacher, a Jewish priest, a Jewish person that referred to God as their father. The rabbis and the religious fellows, they looked down upon that thought. God was so high, God was so holy, God was so beyond us that it was a sacrilege to them to refer to God as their father. And then comes along this upstart young radical rabbi named Jesus, and what does he do? He claims that God is his father. Aren't you glad he is your father tonight? Amen. That's why I say, man, you and I need to be able to realize that there is a blessing, there is something special about using the Father's name. So I just want you to see a few things tonight, and it may be real scattered and wide and broad here, but let's talk about some of the idea of using the Father's name. First of all, I want you to notice this, that when you talk about the Father's name, first of all, we'll say that it is an identification. When you say, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Amen? I mean, when you go through saying those things, you're using that title as a real identifying mark. It's an identification. I mean, and look here in this writing, if you will. You'll notice, as I say in verse number 1 of chapter 17 here, Jesus says, "Father." Okay, well, that's what he says there. But look what he says there in verse number 5. He says, "O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self." And then look down in verse number 11. He said, "And I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father." Boy, I'm telling you, Jesus identifies him. And look, if you will, toward the end of the chapter, in verse number 25, Jesus says this, "O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee." I mean, Jesus is declaring the name of our Father in heaven. And he's not ashamed of it. He's not afraid of it. He, as a matter of fact, seems to be emphasizing the fact of God being our Father. Can I tell you, when you get saved, he becomes your father. And you ought to be ready and willing to identify with that. I want you to see maybe two or three things here. First of all, notice that I think it is an intimate identification. It is an intimate. I mean, when you talk about somebody being your father. Now, in the Greek, that word there is P-A-T-E-R, pater, which we get the idea of patriarch or, you know, the father figure, that kind of idea from. But Jesus uses it, and I think we ought to do so also in a respectful way. But it's also an intimate term. You know, I mean, when I saw my daddy had four kids. And we called him daddy. And buddy, there wasn't nobody else there that was allowed to call. You know why? Because he is our daddy. That makes, as I say, and it's the same thing with your daddy or with your kids calling you daddy. It is one of those intimate relationships. It says there's some kind of special bond. There's some kind of special connection. There's something special between you and your children. And somebody else doesn't have that same relationship with you that you have with your kids. Hey, it's the same thing with our Father in heaven. Can I tell you, this world may say, "Oh, he's our God and we believe with God and all that mess." I'm telling you, he's my Father, and there's an intimate relationship between me and him. Amen? And if you're a child of God, there's an intimate relationship between you and our Heavenly Father. He's your Father. Amen? Oh, boy, I like that when Jesus told Mary, he said, "Mary, you go tell them that I'm going, that I'm getting ready to go up, and I'm going to see my Father and your Father." Amen? Boy, Jesus, before, you know, he had called them, they were his servants. And then after a little while, he said, "Well, you know, more than my servant," he said, "you're my friends." But now, he says, "We're brothers and sisters. He's your Father and he's my Father too." Hallelujah. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. It's an intimate relationship. But second of all, it's intimate identification. Second of all, it's an immutable identification. That word immutable means it is something that can never be changed. One of the attributes of God is His immutability. He is changeless over the eons of time. God's the same that He's always been. Amen? There's no changing in our God. Can I tell you, this relationship that we have as an identifier, it is changeless. I'm His child forever, I am, the songwriter said. Hey, can I tell you, it can't be changed. Amen? Oh, I'm telling you, when I was born, hey, back in July 26, 1955, I was born, and they put on them papers, I was the son of Irwin Carthel Camp and Flossie A. Laney Camp, and buddy, there I was. I was their child. Amen. Somebody said, well, you was their problem. Well, that might be true, but I was their child. And you know what? Hey, they wasn't nothing throughout the 70 decades I lived, the years that Mother and Daddy lived. Hey, there was nothing that never said I wasn't their child. It was one of those things. It was unchangeable that I was theirs. Amen? Can I tell you, when I got saved by the amazing grace of God and He put me in His family, He wrote my name, He said, you're mine and you belong to me and you're mine forever. Amen. Amen. It's an immutable. It is a changeless. It is. I don't want it to change. Do you? Now, sometimes I'll tell you this, even in that immutable state, I hadn't always been what I ought to be. I hadn't always made Him proud. I hadn't always held up what I ought to have done and done everything right and never had a flaw or a failure or a flop. But thank God He always said, you're still my child. Amen. When He looked at me, He probably, I mean, I'm full of faults and failures just like everybody in this room. But when He looked at me, He said, all I see is one that's covered by the precious blood of Jesus. Thank God He's mine. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. I mean, it's an intimate identification. It's an immutable identification. And listen, for me and you, it's an inherited identification. I wasn't born like this in this world. As I said, I was born to Carthel and Flossie. Amen. I was their boy, but I wasn't God's boy until that night in September of 1972, I'm telling you, when my life got changed by that amazing grace, thank God I became His child. And you know what? I inherited some identification on that day. Again, I ain't always made Him proud. I ain't always been right. I ain't always done the correct thing. But thank God I'm His, amen. And I inherited something. I'm telling you, the Bible tells us, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Amen. Over in the book of 1 John, chapter number 3. If you don't want to, flip over. Or if you don't want to, you hang on, I'll flip over. But 1 John, chapter number 3 says this. He says in verse number 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. He said, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. He said, beloved, now are we the sons. You're not waiting to get to heaven to be a child of God. You're not going to, oh, after I put in, 20 years or 50 years or whatever. No. He said, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. You know what that means? That means, brother, you've got an inherited identification. When you got saved, you inherited that family. You inherited those things about being a child of God. And I'm telling you, brother, hey, thank God. Listen, we are now the children of God. We're now the children of God. So you think about that name, using that name of God. I'm telling you, you can do that because it is an identification. It identifies you with Him. And can I tell you, if you're not identified with Him, you get identified with the devil and his crowd. I mean, that's about the only two choices you got. You know, they say, well, preacher, I don't believe in God and I don't believe in the devil. And I'm telling you, whether you believe in Him or not and whether you want to be or not, you're identified with the wrong crowd when you get like that. Amen? So, first of all, it's an identification. Second of all, it is an exaltation. I mean, this is This is something that Jesus is saying, and he is lifting up that name. Look there again in verse number 25, and he says, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. He said, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. In other words, he said, I'm telling you, I'm going to exalt that precious name that is above every name that I identify with. I'm telling you now, you and I need to do the same thing. We need to exalt the name of the Lord. Why is that? Because when you do that, you realize that it speaks of His position. We're speaking of God the Father. Well, I can't tell you how many times I hadn't sat down, probably should have studied that out, from Isaiah chapter 40 to about Isaiah chapter 45. Sit down at some time when you got a chance and read those five or six chapters. Just sit down and read them and see how many times that God tells Isaiah to write this down. Isaiah's right down, and he said, I want them to know. He said, I am the Lord, and there is none other beside me. He said, there is no other salvation in Isaiah 43. There's no salvation in anybody. I am God. There's nobody else like me. Amen. A long time ago, a preacher by the name of Brother Larry Brown that founded Victory Baptist Church over in North Augusta, South Carolina, he preached a message, and it was called Ain't Nobody Like Him. Amen? Boy, that ain't good English, but it sure is right. Amen? Hey, I'm telling you, there is no one like our God. He is to be exalted, because when you use the name of God, it speaks of His position. I mean, God, our Father. When you say God, I'm just saying, you can't go any higher than that. There is nothing above that exalted position of God the Father. Amen? You know, there's a lot of folks today want to argue about the Trinity and the triune nature of God. Well, y'all say that God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy, and we don't believe that. We believe just God. Well, I don't tell you, you're missing out. Amen? I mean, you messed up. Your theology needs to get in a good Bible, and you'll find out that God exists, and I can't explain it to you. Brother Ronnie's kind of wanting me to do a little thing on that, but I'm telling you, it's difficult to explain. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. But can I tell you, I believe it. Amen? I believe it. That those three, well, John says this later on in one of his writings. He says, these three agree in heaven. That's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Guess what? They are of the same mind. They are of the same thought. They are the same personage. That's who God is. But there is God the Father. Amen? God the Father. It speaks of His position. But not only that, it speaks of His protection. Don't you know? You know what a father does? A father protects his family. A father is in the position of authority. And I'll tell you, we need a lot of men in our country today that need to hear this and hear it loud. Hey, God called men to do some things. Get in the position of daddy and be there. Amen? I'm telling you, this world needs to hear that. We've got such a mess. I mean, just M-E-S-S mess. Right? We got a big mess in our country, probably in a lot of other countries, because there is no father figure to provide this essential protection for their families. You won't know why there's a bunch of kids out here running around tonight shooting and cussing and fussing and carrying on and getting in all kinds of meanness and devilishness. You know why? Because there ain't no daddy that's been at home to protect their hearts, to lead their lives, and to give them what they need. Amen. I'm just telling you, that's what the mess of this whole thing. Somebody, daddy has been called into the family because he's the protector. He's the man that should be there. When you've got something going on, you run to daddy. I know mama has an important part. Ladies, please don't misunderstand. I'm not belittling what you do. I'm just saying God put man in that position. I mean, God's chain of authority is God is over all. God is number one. But in the family structure, the father is the head. The father is the leader. The father is the man in charge. The father is called upon to be the protection for his family. And we've got so many today that have abdicated their position. They don't want responsibility. They don't want to have to do anything. They don't want to be in that situation. Hey, you need to just grow up, sir, and realize God put you there. Amen. Hey, it speaks. Can I tell you, aren't you glad for the protecting hand of God our Father? Oh, our Father. I mean, you go back and read a lot of those Psalms, and David will write and say, my God is my strength. My God is my high tower. He's my shield. He's my sword. He's my buckler. He's, you know, everything that he could think of. God was that because God was the place. He said, he's the rock that I run to. He's my tower of protection. He's the one that shades me during the day. He's the one that provides things. Well, thank God. Hey, that's God the Father. Amen. And his name should be exalted because, well, it speaks of his position, and it speaks of his protection, and then it also speaks of his provision. Amen? God called men to provide for the family. I mean, that's just, you know, pretty simple. That's just what God did. Now, I understand the day we live in. I know the dynamics of the economy, and I got that. But I'm telling you, God called men to be the providers. I mean, He just did. He just put men in those positions. And there's a lot of folks say, oh, preacher, you're against women's rights. No, I'm not. Women, you've got as much right to things as anybody else. But I'm telling you, God has authority over these positions. And God's the one. If you got something, a beef against anything, I'm going to say, you just go take it up with God. He's the one that set this up. I didn't. I'm just merely telling you what his word spells out for me and you. There is a place here. And God said, the man is in the place of provision. He talks about a man that won't provide for his own family is worse than an infidel. A man that has been, and God put men in positions. God put men into places of leadership, into places in the church, places in the politics, places in the, God put men in those places. I ain't backing up on that. Amen. I'm just telling you, that's the truth of God's word. Well, you're against women. No, I'm not. I'm telling you, women. Man, I've told you 10,000 times. If it wasn't for women, a lot of our churches would fall apart today. If it wasn't for the ladies and for the things you do and maybe for the gifts that you bring as far as to the table of the church and able to do and do such a... I mean, we wouldn't be... But I'm telling you, God still said men were to be leaders. Now, us bunch of sorry men has dodged the role that God... But, hey, but it ain't God's fault. And it ain't women's fault. It's stinking, sorry, low-down, rotten men's fault. Amen? I'm just telling you. You say, preacher, how can you say it? Because I are one. Amen? I'm just telling you. Hey, I understand. God ain't changed his mind about things. As you got through telling you. God said, here's the way I set it up. And it's still that way, whether you want to believe it or not. Amen? Well, that goes over real good. Oh, you on Facebook, put a big check mark out there for that. Amen. I'm just telling you, that's the way that it is. But when you say, our Father, you see Jesus talking, he says, oh, righteous Father. He says, holy Father. He says, our Father. He says, my Father. He says, your Father. Thank God. Hey, that's a name that's to be exalted because of all these things that God is. I'm glad he is the one that has the position above all. I'm glad that he provides my protection. I'm glad he is the provision of my life. Again, David said, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. You know why? Because God's his provider. Amen. God's my provider. God's your provider. And you ought to look up and thank your Heavenly Father. Say, Father, can I thank you for all that you've provided and done for me in my life? It's an exhortation. Let me say this thirdly, real quickly. It is a declaration. Jesus makes this a declaration. And look in verse number 25 and 26 again. He said, O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name. God has his name declared. And isn't it amazing? Jesus could have come down here and said, hey, won't y'all know who I am? I'm Jesus. I'm the Son. And many times, you know, he did tell them that, but he didn't brag on himself. You know who he bragged on? His Father. You know who he talked about? His Father. You know why he did that? Because, let me tell you, it's the Father that does these things for us. First of all, I want you to realize that me and you are, hey, we're the children of God. And, man, you ought to realize this, we are begotten of him. We're begotten of him. You ought to declare the Father because he's the one that begot you. Now, you know, there's a lot of folks get all excited about that. Now, if you look in some other versions of the Bible, your Bible, the King James Bible, says that Jesus is the only begotten. God gave us his only begotten Son. Well, what does that word only begotten mean? It declares that there is a special relationship in that begotten. It don't just mean that you birthed somebody. You know, we say, oh, we go through and you read all those begats. Well, this word, the only begotten of the Father, means this is a special kind of relationship. It's not just the fact of progeneration. It's not just the fact of birthing somebody. It means there is a special relationship between those two. And the Bible tells me and you that we are the children of God. And God hath begotten us. Well, how did he do that? Well, he birthed us in a spiritual fashion. And now, as I said, we're the children of God. He begot us. You didn't join a club. You couldn't sign a card. You can dunk in a water tank all you want to. There's nothing special about those issues other than being representative of something or being a command of God. But God's what birthed you into this thing. It ain't you. It ain't me. It ain't us. Thank God he is the one that we are begotten of him. Listen over here in 1 John. Go over to 1 John again if you want to flip over there. And if not, just hang on. I'll read it to you. 1 John chapter number 5. And listen to what he says in verse number 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth also, or loveth him also that is begotten of him. You and I are begotten of him. We are special unto him. We are dear ones unto him. We are special children. Thank God. Can I tell you, everybody ain't got what me and you've got. If they're not saved, they're not begotten of the Father. They may have got into this world through a birth of a mama and a daddy. But those of us that have experienced, that is why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You've got to have a second. You've got to be born a second time and begotten of God. You've got to be begotten of him. So I'm telling you, this name, when we use the name our Father, you're making a declaration. I am begotten of him that is above. Not only are we begotten of him, let me say we belong to him. Amen? When you get born, you belong to that family. Amen? Jerry Simmons, you belong to the Simmons family. Congratulations. Amen. Alvin Ogle, you belong to the Ogle family. Hey, praise God, you're an Ogle. Right? I got born into the Kemp family. Ronnie Bird got born into the Bird family. Larry Dotson got born into the Dotson family. I mean, you know, that. Congratulations, you're part of that family. But boy, can I tell you something? When you get saved and He writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, you belong to Him. You have gotten into a family then, sure enough. Amen? You've gotten into the family of God. I mean, listen, we belong to Him. You know, you remember when you was a kid and you'd go in and say, Mama, or you know, especially go to Dad, Daddy, can I go over here with Jimmy? Well, what are y'all going to do? Well, we're going to go out here and run around and we might do this, we might go here. Nope. Well, why not? Jimmy's mom and dad's going to let him do it. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I ain't Jimmy's daddy, but I am your daddy. And you're going to do what we say do here at this house, and it's going to be what's right. Amen? Can I tell you, that's the same thing. You belong to somebody else now. When you get saved, you don't belong to you no more. You don't belong to the devil's family you used to belong to. But thank God when you get saved, hey, you become a child of the King. You're God. You belong to Him. Amen? What? No, you're not. That your body is not your own. Hey, your body is a temple of the Holy God. I'm telling you, you belong to somebody else the day that you got saved. Amen? God wanted to save you. He did save you. And I'm telling you, He tells you there's some things you better just stay out. You know why? Because you belong to Him. Amen? Well, they're going to go out drinking and carousing. Can I? No, you don't. You belong to me. We don't do that stuff. Well, they're going to go out and rip, roar, and snort and do whatever. Yeah, but you don't belong to them. You belong to me. And I'm the one that you're looking to. Hey, it's a declaration. Hey, my daddy said I can't. You ever had to say that before to your buddy? Well, come on, let's go. Well, my daddy said I can't go. Can I tell you, that's what you ought to tell this world when they come in and say, oh, just get out here. It'll be all right. Go have a few drinks. Go shoot a line of cocaine with us or snort something or go take this pill. No, sir, my daddy said I can't. Amen. I belong to Him. I can't do some of the junk that this world's involved. I can't go some of the places. I can't. You know why? Because I belong to somebody else different than who they belong to. And you do too if you're saved. Amen? We belong to Him. Let me say this last of all. We're begotten of Him. It's a declaration. He birthed us. We belong to Him. I declare I belong to Him. And He blesses. We bless Him and He blesses us. Amen? I mean, we're to bless His holy name. It should be a declaration. You hear what Jesus said here? He said, O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee. This world doesn't know Him. Oh, they may talk about Him. They may say, oh, yeah, well, God, we know about God, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they don't know Him. He said, but I've known Thee, and these have known that Thou hast sent Me, and I have declared unto them Thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved Me may be in them and I in them. He blesses us. We bless Him. That's what we're built for, folks. We're built to bless the name of the Lord. The psalmist David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Amen. That's what you and I are made for. I mean, this is a declaration. When you say, Father, boy, somebody ought to take notice of that. Who are you talking about when you're calling the Father? I'm talking about my Father, which is in heaven. Amen. You know, I guess, I don't. Maybe some of them do. I don't know. Some schools, they may do that. I know when we was kids, every morning, teacher would get up. She'd say, everybody stand up. Look at that flag over there. Put your hand across your heart. And recite that Pledge of Allegiance. We did it. You know, everybody in my room did it, as far as I know. There wasn't nobody dissenting. There wasn't nobody burning flags. There wasn't nobody upset. There wasn't nobody bent out of shape. There wasn't nobody marching and crying and screaming and carrying signs. We just went ahead and did it. You know why? Because it's the right thing to do. And then when we got through with that, you know what that teacher had the audacity to do? Bow your heads, kids, and let's repeat after me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And we began to all say that prayer. I didn't understand it at that time. But can I tell you something? There sure ain't nothing wrong with putting it in your kids' hearts. I mean, it ain't saving them. And that ain't changing their life necessarily. I don't really mind at that time. But I'm just saying it doesn't necessarily. But I'm saying there ain't nothing wrong. Hey, it's better than some of the mess that they hear and repeat today. Somebody say amen right there. I'm just telling you, we ought to be blessing His holy name. We ought to be declaring Him before this lost and dying world. We ought to be declaring Him. Are you doing that tonight? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's, if you would, come with a verse of a song. Jesus.